And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have so many great endorsements, so many great. You know, if you just look, I mean, Jeff Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions endorsed. So many. Michael Savage, you're right. Michael Savage endorsed.
So, by the way, we have Donald Trump on Monday because, as you know, the Tuesday's a huge day. He's at 50% in New York on all the polls. He's going to smash the opposition. And what I see going on, and no one knows what's coming tomorrow, after they stole Colorado from him, the RNC changed their tune and said he only needs 1,100 delegates. I think they, you know, they know which way the wind blows, and they know that he should be the nominee and he will be the nominee. And I think that at the end of the day, Ted Cruz and he will be pals, as they should be. They will unify as they should. They will draw their wagons together as they should. And they will defeat the most dangerous outcome of this election imaginable, which would be this individual from Arkansas, Chappaqua, Hillary Clinton, who wants to raise taxes in a way that would crush business, crush incentive, and destroy the middle class. Welcome to the show. So I was reading a biography of, I found it in the bathroom. I got tired of the magazines. I found a book I had had sent to me a year ago about Bernie Madoff. You know, the crook, the stock scammer, Bernie Madoff. Remember, what did he steal? $58 billion. That's all. He'd been lying his entire life to the investors, but they didn't care. They were getting returns on the other jerk's money. And then when it all came down, they screamed, oh, I didn't know. I want my money back. Well, you took a chance. You shouldn't have gotten your money back. But, okay, you got your money back, most of you. So the scam artist is in jail. So I'm reading a life story of the family. And you know, the thought occurred to me that although he's a monster, there's a little bit of Bernie Madoff in all of us. It's only a matter of degree and guts. You know it, and I know it. I mean, it's been said another way. There's larceny in everyone's heart. Come on, don't play so clean with me. It's only a matter of degree and guts, of what you have the guts to get away with. And how much you get away with, whether you're scamming someone or the system. And so the question is, and don't answer me, because the minute I ask it, I'll ask you which politician is the most dishonest or an outright criminal. And I have to say, far and away, one is Obama. He is the most dishonest and the most criminal. And I can tell you why, as I did in Government Zero. If you think I'm making it up because I'm anti-black, you're out of your mind. The man is a gangster. Clinton is number two. Your pick is number three. Don't call the show. Now, the reason I was saying that about Bernie Madoff, and there's a little bit of him in all of us, is that I have something original for the show that no one else in radio has done, because it requires a lot of research and a lot of work. And it took a lot of work to get a list of all U.S. corporations who pay little in federal income tax or none. Did you know anything about this? Oh, you heard that a lot of corporations don't pay taxes. But nobody in the media has actually gone and done the research on which corporations pay zero or less than zero in federal income taxes. In fact, many of them pay lower in federal income taxes than the average American taxpayer, if you can believe this. And some of the corporations are household names: CBS, General Electric, JetBlue Airways, Mattel, Owens Corning, PG&E, Pepco Holdings, Priceline, Prudential, Qualcomm, Ryder, Time Warner, Weyerhaeuser, Xerox. That's just 15 of them. Now, you have to understand something. I understand business. I know there's gross. I know that there's earnings after tax, after expenses. And taxation is based on the earnings after taxes. And most of these companies that earn these big dollars reinvest the earnings, or shall I say the income rather, into infrastructure or expansion. And in that sense, it's not considered as an income anymore. They try to zero out the books so they don't pay any taxes. I don't blame them. But in essence, what they're doing is reinvesting their gross income in other enterprises, which in a way is spending the money in a let's say productive way. But that's not true for all of them. And we have a list of all the corporations, how much they grossed, how much they paid, and then there's the outright scam artists that aren't on this list, who use Ireland as their base or the Isle of Wight to pay nothing. And then, of course, you've got idiot musicians like Bono. I don't know what he pays in taxes, but if he pays in taxes, what's left between his ears in terms of dura mater, it's probably close to zero. This moron, I have no idea. Well, I have no idea. I have a good idea why the Democrats invite this moron, Bono, to lecture us about global warming, which I know he knows nothing about. He knows about as much about global warming as your dog does. But the fact of the matter is, this idiot had the nerve to say the other day that comedy should be deployed against ISIS, if you can believe this. This moron, Bono, who is called to Congress to lecture them on social policy, gave a speech the other day saying that the way to defeat ISIS is to bring in comedians. You got to listen to clip number two on the Savage Nation.
Don't laugh, but I think comedy should be deployed. Because when, if you look at National Socialism and Daesh and ISIL, this is the same thing. We've seen this before. We've seen this before. They're very vain. They've got all the signs up. They're really, it's a show business. You speak violence, you speak their language, but you laugh at them when they're goose-stepping down the street, and it takes away their power. So I'm suggesting that the Senate send in Amy Schumer and Chris Rock and Sacha Baron Cohen. Thank you.
Any congressperson who invites this empty head to Congress should be thrown out of office because it indicates that they themselves are as stupid as he is. Now, I could analyze what he said, but it's hard to even analyze what he's saying. He got only one thing right. He said ISIS is like National Socialism. That means Nazism, but I apparently didn't even go to that extent to explain it to you. Of course they're Nazis. That's why I've called them Islamo-fascists for how many years now? We all know what Nazism is. How many years have I told you that when Hitler comes back, he won't be marching to a German song, and he won't be wearing a swastika, and he won't be reading from Mein Kampf. He'll be marching to a different song, reading a different book, and he'll be wearing a headscarf. All right, so finally he got that right, that it's National Socialism. Great. But you know, there were comedians in the 30s who tried to laugh at Hitler, like Charlie Chaplin. Tell that to the Jews who died in the ovens after Charlie Chaplin got through doing his routine. Dictators only understand one thing, which is death. That's all they understand, nothing else. They don't understand battle because they're very good at battle. They love battle, they love fighting with other men's blood. The only thing they understand is death. The only thing they understand is a cruise missile in their toilet. The only thing they understand is a predator missile when they wake up and go Allah Akbar, and they look up and the last thing they see is a predator drone. That's the only thing they understand. They don't understand a comedian, moron. Are we winning the war against ISIS? Do you actually think we are? Obama is suddenly making believe that he's commander-in-chief. Are we winning the war against ISIS? Everyone knows we're losing the war against ISIS because of the slacker in the White House. And if you think that I'm being overly harsh about this idiotic criminal in the White House, you're wrong. And if this is offensive to you, you have a problem. I don't. I want you to listen to the slacker in the White House in clip number one and tell me if you think this is presidential at a time like this.
There are a lot of good things about being president. You know, I get a chance to travel all across the country and meet people, see all the amazing things that are being done. Being commander-in-chief of the greatest military the world's ever known and seeing the incredible service of our men and women in uniform, Air Force One, is very cool. I don't have to take off my shoes before I get on an airplane.
Does this leave you speechless, how this man debases the office of the presidency on a daily basis at a time like this? He's golfing, saying he doesn't have to take his shoes off before he gets on the airplane. Okay, so those are some of the topics that are rattling around inside my soul. We'll have a list of the corporations that pay next to zero in federal income tax. We'll ask you, are we winning the war against ISIS, but don't even call on it. We know that. And then there's another story that broke today, and you know where I stand on that. The Trump campaign manager, Mr. Lewandowski, will not be prosecuted. And this is a Democrat state attorney general, I believe, who analyzed the trumped-up charges brought by the Jupiter police. And they said, what, are you crazy? There was no cause for assault here. Now, I have very strong opinions on this. This girl reporter feels, I watched the videotape that was released by the prosecutors in Florida, and the Democrats, by the way, and she left the area that was assigned to reporters, this aggressive reporter, who, by the way, had done this in the past to others, claiming battery. She's a faker. Why do you think I'm talking about there's a little bit of Bernie Madoff in all of us? She is the Bernie Madoff of reporters. She had the nerve to leave the area that reporters were assigned to, sneak around, go after a presidential candidate, touch him. You could see Donald Trump recoiling because he doesn't know who's grabbing him. He has great instincts, by the way, for a guy his age. Tremendous reflexes. Lewandowski does the job that the Secret Service failed to do, which is protect his boss from an unknown toucher who could have had a poison dart in her hand or a gun. And of course there were no charges brought against him. And I believe, as I say right now on this show, that Corey Lewandowski, Donald Trump's campaign manager, should now bring charges against the girl reporter for a number of different charges. And I'm not an attorney, but if there are attorneys in the audience or Secret Service or FBI agents who can tell us, I believe he has charges to bring against her now that he's been exonerated, including false accusations. There must be some legal term for that. She made a lie that he assaulted her. She committed battery on a presidential candidate. That's a known fact. And she refused to accede to Secret Service directives. I believe she should be tried. Now, if you actually listen to what some of the dumb reporters were asking the prosecutor, you'll be astounded that this country exists. These are the very same capons or worms who have nothing to say about Hillary Clinton's lies, the deaths in Benghazi, the emails, Obama's abuse of power, Obama's abuse of Air Force One and Air Force Two on his trips, Obama's abuse of virtually everything to do with the presidency. All of a sudden, they find their courage, and they're ripping and ripping and ripping at the prosecutor. Well, did she touch? Did she not touch? Was it influenced by this? And were you influenced by that? Did Donald Trump call? Like he was on trial, the prosecutor. Suddenly, a Democrat prosecutor was on trial because the boy reporters suddenly found their courage. It's an example of why this country is in trouble. Because the people who are despised the most in this country are not politicians. The people who are despised the most are those who destroyed America, the reporters. I'll be right back. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. I was busy raising two young children, earning my doctorate. Who knows what happened? I never went to the dances in those days. Now that I can, I don't go. So go figure it out. So there's a lot of topics out there. And eventually, of course, it'll all lead back to what I'm going to have for lunch, what I had for dinner. Just to upset those who say all I do is talk about food. I think I'll talk about food later on. Can you know anyone out there who doesn't eat? Have you met anyone yet who doesn't eat? I haven't met anyone who doesn't care about food. If they don't, would you talk to a person who doesn't care about food? I wouldn't even want to talk to anyone who doesn't pay attention to what they eat. I like people who know what they're eating and what they put in their trap, just like what they read. What they believe. So my main premise today is there's a little bit of Bernie Madoff in all of us. It's only a matter of degree and guts. No one has the halo, okay? Stop marching around like you have a halo because of this or because of that. No one does. We're all flawed creatures, and we're all subject to a little larceny. You know that if you go to a gambling casino, and if you could, you take as much money as you could out of that gambling casino, if you had the opportunity to do so many, let's say you had a trick with the machine or whatever, or your friend was the dealer. Come on, don't lie to yourself. But you don't have such a situation. The casinos wouldn't let you do it. And you don't have the guts to do it, number three. So then you could say, well, I'm better than the other guy. I used to meet people like this in San Francisco. This city is filled with hypocrites who are, they're convinced that they're better than everyone else because they have no money. And they think that their poverty is an example of their nobility. One has nothing to do with the other. I've met some people who are poor who have nobility, but you got people walking around saying, well, because I'm poor, I'm noble. And those who have money are not noble. You know, it's absurd. So the issues are Trump campaign manager will not be prosecuted as he shouldn't have been. It was a trumped up charge. Pardon me for using a weird phrase. But the Trump campaign manager had trumped up charges brought against him by haters in the Republican Party and, of course, on the left. And the reporters today made an embarrassment to themselves. Just a total embarrassment. The reporter who accused Corey Lewandowski may still pursue defamation case. If I were advising Corey Lewandowski, and I don't know if anyone from the Trump campaign is listening, I would say you should go for a case against her. This one has to be stopped. This is a Bernie Madoff with a skirt. She thinks she's fooling the world. There are charges that could be brought against the girl reporter, falsely reporting a crime, battery on a presidential candidate because she touched him and she wasn't allowed to. Do you know that that's battery? Do you understand? It's not like Kurt Lewandowski raped her. The way the media went today, oh, did he must have really raped her in front of 4 million people. That's what they were doing, these idiots. He was defending his candidate from a, quote, reporter who could have been a terrorist with an unknown object in her hand. And we don't know her motives at the time. Who knew them? And as I said before, Michelle Fields, the girl reporter, was lucky that Trump's campaign manager, Lewandowski, stepped in and not the Secret Service, because we had callers on this show who are former Secret Service, who are now bodyguards. One of them was in Colombia, I believe, who said that if he was the private security guy for Trump, that girl would have been on the floor with a broken arm. Do you understand what I just said? South America is filled with female executioners who look just as innocent as that chick does, whatever her name is. Okay? It's as simple as that. And I wouldn't take this charge against him anymore. He should count the charge right now. Bring it to court. My opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I can't hear the number. I don't like this. I don't like the vocalist at all. Grating. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Are we winning the war against ISIS? No, don't call on it. Should Lewandowski's accuser be charged? Yes, absolutely, to stop people like that. Three. What should we do with Bono, who says that the way to defeat ISIS is through comedy? What is the proper punishment or treatment for Bono? He hasn't committed a crime. Remember, idiocy is not a crime in any country, so far as I know. In fact, it's revered in America. But given that it's not a crime, but it's laughable, maybe you should get the Comedy Award of the Year, that comedy should be deployed against ISIS. Now, a man who really knows what ISIS is about appeared on Breitbart's Steve Bannon show, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He knows an awful lot about these maniacs. Listen to clip three.
Yeah, well, I hope they're going to have Delta Force and JSOC protecting them, because they're going to get beheaded. They put their foot on ISIS caliphate territory and they're dead because they're infidels. I don't think Bono understands. We are infidels. Him included in his little bubble, in his bulletproof little bubble, but he is as much an infidel. He's actually a worse kind of infidel because he's infecting the Muslim world with his culture. He really doesn't get it.
So what do you do with people who are known drug users, who are espousing public policy that is deadly, in addition to being comedic and stupid? It's deadly, it's dangerous, because there are a lot of people who listen to idiots like him. The followers of a man like Bono would be people who use drugs, and drug users are notoriously stupid and of low intelligence, and they believe him. So they actually want to send comedians to face ISIS. Can you believe this? In case you missed the soundbite, I think it's worth replaying clip number two. Here is a man named, I don't know his real name. We call him Bonehead affectionately here around the Savage Nation. We do know he's Irish by his lilty accent. So here's Bonehead in clip two.
Don't laugh, but I think comedy should be deployed. Because if you look at National Socialism and Daesh and ISIL, this is the same thing. We've seen this before. We've seen this before. They're very vain. They've got all the signs up. They're really, it's a show business. You speak violence, you speak their language, but you laugh at them when they're goose-stepping down the street, and it takes away their power. So I'm suggesting that the Senate send in Amy Schumer and Chris Rock and Sacha Baron Cohen. Thank you.
Oh, so look, I found him. His real name is Paul David Hewson. That's the fowl known as Bono. I didn't know I knew him because he's in someone's book entitled The Political Zoo, a little-known book that was published back in 2006, which is revered as a political classic by those in the political world. It was published in 06 by Nelson Books. It's only a collectible now. It's not for sale, I know. And he was called Gaelic Seamus, the tiny well-fed Irish chicken or Bono. And I gave him a Latin binomial Gaelic Seamus. The tiny well-fed Irish chicken or bono can most often be spotted in front of any available bank of cameras, squawking for American taxpayer funding of its various pet causes, even in 06, huh? Even though this particular species offers none of his own scratch. It is generally suspected that the Irish chicken suffers from a congenital eye condition, making it oversensitive to light. For, as some scientists suggest, willfully blind, hence its ever-present wraparound shades. Despite this fowl's piercing, grating voice, the bono is known to attract political fowl of diverse speciation, and is frequently confused as an animal of some importance. It also lays many eggs, often rotten, known Zooropa? Is it a condition called Zooropa? I didn't know about that. I forgot it. Well, I wrote this. The lead singer of the Irish rock band U2 has abused his pop star popularity to promote pie-in-the-sky left-wing causes for years. The Guinness-bred Gael once was a vocal advocate for Greenpeace, right up until their little run-in with the French government resulted in their boat being blown out of the water. It was soon thereafter that, instead of saving whales, Bono the Baffling decided to channel his efforts at something more attainable and less lofty. And so now Bono is saying we should send in comedians to defeat ISIS. Now, you could laugh at him and just say, just another drugged-up entertainer, why pay attention to him? Because he has been invited to the U.S. Congress and the U.N. to profess his social policies. And so, how in the world can you not comment on a man as insane as him? Topic number, that's not that important, by the way. It's just a little side note. But now the meat of the hour for you. I promise this, I have to deliver. Reuters, many U.S. corporations pay little in federal income taxes report. Now, we know this is a big problem because Bernie's making it a problem. I think all candidates are making it a problem with exception of Hillary Clinton because, you know, she's status quo. She's the status quo candidate, despite what you may think. Wild, crazy woman, yeah, really out of control. She's going to make things fair. She's the corporate selection. In that sense, she's less dangerous than Bernie, for sure. But since this is a national discussion, let's talk about it in detail because I did the homework. No one else has done this in radio. Nobody has this. It's easy to have an opinion. We all have them. We thrive on it. But to actually do the research and get the facts is a lot of work. So I want to thank Douglas Lynn, one of my producers, for spending hours on this. Here are some of the names of the many corporations that paid far less in federal income taxes than average Americans in 2014 and or over the past 5 years. Number one, CBS. U.S. profit, $1.79 billion. The tax rate is 5% for them after all is said and done. General Electric, this number is enormous, $5.8 billion in revenue. They paid a minus 4.3% tax rate, meaning they got a kick, they got a rebate. That General Electric, now you know they're the ones who used to own MSNBC, right? Now you know why they were so friendly with Obama. Do you understand how this works? If Obama gets donations from these corporations in one form or another, and they're scamming taxes, even though it's legal, they're scamming taxes, the government is told don't go after them. This is how politics works in a corrupt nation, a banana republic such as ours. JetBlue Airways, 0.6% tax rate. What's your tax rate, Jim? You pay probably your straight out something 30%, right? Everyone listening to the show, if you earn a living, you're paying between 25 to 49%. Upper income, you're paying much more. Here in the state of California, add 15% state tax. So the roads can continue to be broken and the criminals can be invited across the border. Mattel Corporation, minus 0.4% in taxes. That's they pay less than zero. Owings Corning, according to this chart, 5.3% federal tax. PG&E, minus 7%. On profit of $1.8 billion. Now, that's the profit. Listen to me. That's not earnings. That's profit. U.S. profit is $1.8 billion, and they paid minus 7%. How is that possible? Priceline.com, minus 8.8%. Prudential Financial, minus 4.6%. Qualcomm, 8.7%. Ryder System, 0.5% federal taxes. Time Warner, on earnings of $4.2 billion, pay 14.7%. Boy, they're generous. Weyerhaeuser on earnings of $960 million paid minus 10.4%. Xerox Corp on U.S. profit of $629 million paid 5.4%. So the total of these 15 corporations, according to 10K annual reports, they paid an average rate of 1.6%. Can you believe that? That's astounding. As a group, the 15 companies paid no federal income tax on $23 billion in profits in 2014, and they paid almost no federal income tax on $107 billion in profits over the past 5 years. All but two received federal tax rebates in 2014. Rebates, can you believe this? That General Electric gets a rebate? And almost all paid exceedingly low rates over 5 years. Do you think that's fair? Here are some other Fortune 500 companies that don't pay income taxes. I think they were all read just now, but we have others. Here are S&P 500 corporations that don't pay income taxes, according to USA Today. Company symbol, Goodyear, $2.45 billion, no taxes. TE Connectivity, according to this article, income of $1.9 billion, zero taxes. Eaton Corp, Tyco, Masco. Have you gone on a cruise lately? Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines? No income tax on earnings of $764 million, according to Wynn Resorts Limited, NASDAQ, Wynn, on earnings of $731 million, zero income taxes. Hey, man, I'd love to know how they do it. I really do. Love it. Darden Restaurants, zero. First Energy Corp, zero. Cabot Oil and Gas, zero. This is according to USA Today. Little bit more for you. How about Amazon? We all go down. We love Amazon, right? You love Amazon? I love Amazon. They sell my books. Do a wonderful job of delivering quickly. Amazon.com has my book, Teddy and Me, Government Zero. They do a great job. Tax rate, 4.33%. How about your friends at Google, the good friends of Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama? Google paid a rate of 11.9%. Yahoo paid 11.6%. Microsoft paid 18.9%. No wonder you can buy so many sweaters. That's where Bill Gates gets the extra money from. And these are the ones, by the way, who push the social consciousness down our throats and tell us that we don't pay our fair share. We don't pay enough. Google, 11.9. Yahoo, 11.6. Microsoft paid 18.9. And Xerox paid 7.3% of its income in taxes, while Amazon paid only 3.5%. Google, 2.4% rate shows how $60 billion is lost to tax loopholes. This is according to Jesse Drucker in Bloomberg. And this was published, I believe, in October of 2010. You can imagine what it is today. It's the best research we could get. This is while reporters were still able to report on Google until they were blacked out by the new administration. And they wrote this. Google Inc. cut its taxes by $3.1 billion in the last 3 years using a technique that moves most of its foreign profits through Ireland, oh, hello, Bono, and the Netherlands to Bermuda. Google's income shifting, involving strategies known to lawyers as the double Irish and the Dutch sandwich, remember I told you about those, helped reduce its overseas tax rate to 2.4%, the lowest of the top five U.S. tech companies by market capitalization, according to regulatory filings in six countries. Martin Sullivan, a tax economist who formerly worked for the U.S. Treasury Department, said this. He said it's remarkable that Google's effective rate is that low. We know this company operates throughout the world, mostly in high-tax countries, where the average corporate tax rate is well over 20%. The U.S. corporate income tax rate is 35%. In the U.K., Google's second biggest market by revenue, it's 28%. Google, the owner of the world's most popular search engine, uses a strategy that has gained favor among such companies as Facebook, Marky Boy, who told us to accept more refugees and be more accepting, and Microsoft. The method takes advantage of Irish tax law to legally shuttle profits into and out of subsidiaries there, largely escaping the country's 12.5% income tax. So in addition to screwing us, they're screwing Ireland. So now you understand the taxation story and why most of us are very angry and why most of us are demanding that they pay their fair share. Because if these companies were prohibited from scamming the public and evading taxes, I don't think that we would have to pay as high taxes as we do here. And by the way, the next time they do this analysis, I wish someone would look in to see how much they pay in California state income tax, because those of us who pay our fair share are getting ready to leave the state. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. I love that bumper. It means I know I'm back. And the main theme of today's show is that there's a little bit of Bernie Madoff in all of us. It's only a matter of degree and guts. And then we played Obama goofing about not having to take his shoes off on Air Force One as one of the great perks of the job. It's while people are being raped and beheaded in the Middle East. The economy is in shambles because of imprinting money. You don't know it yet because you don't feel the immediate effects of printing money while the money is being printed. It's called borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, right? The chickens will come home to roost. When? If a Republican should win the next election, as I hope they do, one of them, the economy will collapse. There'll be a crash. And then they can blame the Republicans and they say, look at that, we told you that. Those evil big business Republicans destroyed the economy that was so good under Obama with $19 trillion in debt. See that? We told you. And then the 4 years, we'll hear about how the Democrats, socialists will save us by ripping the rich. That's going to be the next game. Who could put up with this? So if you talk about this day and night, you may as well have your facts straight. So I read to you the name of the some of the companies that, according to the research we did, pay little or no income tax. And I hope you heard it, because in the next hour, we're going to go on the other side of the ledger so you don't get the mistaken Bernie, what's his name, Bernie Madoff running for office? I don't know his name. Bernie Sanders? Bernie? Yeah, Bernie Sanders is like Bernie Madoff, almost identical. Only instead of selling false stocks at high prices, he's selling false promises at low prices. You can write that one down. But he's like Bernie Madoff. They're almost twins. They're the same. They're cut from the same ice cream cake out of Brooklyn. One became a stock manipulator. The other became a communist agitator. So now, oh, wow, man, I want to invest in that Bernie guy. We love Bernie. I want Bernie. I want Bernie. Well, same as you heard with Bernie Madoff. So now we're going to go to the other side, because if you're a believer in Bernie, you'd think every company is crooked. They're not all crooked, by the way. Some pay high taxes, and we have a list to show how fair we are of the companies paying the most taxes. Yes, there are some, and they should get the gold stars. We have 10 of them. Of companies paying the most taxes for you in the next hour. We have callers on the Lewandowski situation. We have callers on Bonehead. We got more news, views, and reviews. I haven't yet gotten to what I ate last night in North Beach in San Francisco. Really good Italian food, I got to tell you. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, the restaurants will be empty tomorrow, because everyone has to be hosed down by tomorrow. Tonight you're paying your taxes, you're sick to your stomach. When you heard what I did in the last hour, reading the corporations that earn billions and pay nothing, you know that there's a revolution brewing in this nation. That's how a low life like Bernie Madoff could get so far on the Democrat side. I mean, Bernie Sanders, they're the same to me. Cut from the same mellow roll out of Brooklyn, New York. One went into politics, the other one went into stocks. Same mentality. One sold stocks that had no value. The other selling social policy that has no value, built on nothing. Like they have a moron on Fox News talking to the I shouldn't put Neil Cavuto down. I know he's limited. I get it. He's the nice kid. He's the kind of guy who would have been my friend in high school. He has the brains of a mortadella. He's like a mortadella they taught how to put a tie on. So the mortadella on Fox News interviewing some sub moron who's arguing for free college tuition with a sweatshirt that says socialist alternative. Now, why would they have a dirtbag like her on that channel? Here I am, one of the most brilliant men in the history of America's media, who's written all these books with real degrees, and they won't let me on the network. I don't want to go. I don't care. Any club that would have me as a member, I don't want to join. Same thing. Any television network that would have me on, I know they're setting me up. So the point is, it's not a matter of sour grapes. I could care less. But it just shows you how far they've fallen when they let Machine Gun Kelly get this far, number one, whose face, incidentally, is changing by the day. The more leftist she becomes, the more porcine her face appears. You have to look that word up. Jim, if you're over there in Dallas, my Skype is fading in and out. I got to see you guys and find relief. So let's take some calls on the corporation that pay no taxes. Bob on WABC New York, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Bob, I got to tell you, it's a pleasure, Mike, to talk to you. Been a big fan for a long time. Only wish ABC would pay for
the honor to be on WABC. I'd rather not, deal with that kind of decision-making with my audience. I don't engage in it. So what's your main point?
Well, my main point is that you have to understand, these corporations have
racists on. So first he slams my station affiliate, then he attacks Jewish people. So we got a twofer out of that. Did any of that go out in the air? Did the Nazi get cut? Okay, the Nazi got cut. He'll have to go have his strudel somewhere on 86th Street. If he can still find a basement to crawl down into where they have a revolving wall with the Nazi memorabilia. On the front, there's the American flag and Barack Obama. Then when, after hours, they press a button and there's old Adolf and the old swastika. And that was that caller. Okay, what do you want to talk about? WABC, Jeff, on the tax issue, fire away.
Yes, I just wanted to say I'm no fan of the corporations. A former IRS employee, as a matter of fact, and your numbers are very misleading because most of these are global corporations, and they're reducing their U.S. tax liability by foreign tax credits, which they're entitled to claim. So they're not.
No, listen, sir. I agree with you. I understand that. However, they're paying a far lower rate in the so-called foreign countries than they would be paying here. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So in other words, I'm not deceiving anyone. They're not paying 39.5% as anyone in the country who earns a significant income pays. Some of them are paying less than zero, as I pointed out.
They're paying, well, that's because you have to look at the whole picture. Let's say they're paying 20% in a country. That when they repatriate that income, they could take that amount of tax that they paid in that country and reduce their U.S. taxes.
I understand, but why are they doing that? They're doing it to lessen their U.S. tax burden or pay nothing.
Well, look, we can't speak generally. Every company does what they want to do. And some want to play games. I've seen it. I've seen every kind of trick there is and want to reduce their U.S. taxes. But most of them want to pay their fair share of taxes.
All right. CBS paid 5%. General Electric paid minus 0.43%. How do they pay minus 4.3% on U.S. profit of $5.8 billion? Could you explain that?
Yes. They have foreign tax credits that weren't used. And they're going to use it in the future. They negated all their taxes because they had foreign tax credits. And yes, they can make a...
But do you think it's... Wait, sir, I understand they can do it. That's how they don't go to jail. That's how Madoff avoided going to jail for many years. He was able to do it because he was within the law until they found that he was breaking the law. What I'm saying is we should change the law and not let them get away with it. What's wrong with that idea?
Because they're not getting away with anything. They're paying a certain amount of tax to the world. They don't care if they pay it to the United States.
What you just said, okay, you just said something very important. They're paying a certain amount of tax to the world, but they're not paying it to the United States of America.
Right. That's because they have...
No, that bothers me. Sir, I don't know whether you're a Dem or a Republican. It doesn't matter to me, but you know that there's a revolution brewing in this country because of this tax scam.
I am. I hate both parties. Both are corrupt. There's no question.
All right, so we agree on that, Jeff. But you also know there's a lot of dissension in the country because companies are getting away with perfectly legal tax avoidance schemes.
They're not avoiding taxes. They're paying it to another country.
Well, I just said that. Avoiding U.S. taxes.
Okay, but they're not avoiding U.S. taxes. This is the...
Well, okay, you're splitting hairs with me like we're having a debate about something in the air. You know and I know that your president, because I didn't vote for him, I'll say your president, you probably were conned by him. Your president prints money because we don't have enough taxes to pay for his social programs. Don't you think that if these companies were forced to pay their fair share of American taxes, if the laws were tightened up, that we would have less of an onus on the average citizen?
He's not my president. Let's get that straight. And I know there's enough shenanigans going on in the world, which he's part of. But the point is, individuals pay taxes in foreign countries, too, and get a foreign tax credit. I mean, everybody could do that.
What do you mean? I could pay my taxes to Ireland?
If you had an Irish business, if you had a business that operated in Ireland, you would be taxed globally if you're a U.S. citizen. Taxing globally means you pay taxes on all your worldwide income. And you could
also... let's say I earn a certain amount of money, and I want to shelter some of that money. I could create an Irish company as a subsidiary of what I do in the radio and writing here in America. I could create a foreign company in Ireland, let's say, producing leprechauns. I could have little statues of Bill O'Reilly, and I'd call it the Leprechaun. And what, the money I would lose on the leprechaun statue business, I could deduct from my U.S. income?
No, if you have a branch in Ireland that makes $100, and it's taxed in Ireland at 5%, okay, that $100 is taxed in the U.S. at 30%, say, but the 5% that you paid in Ireland reduces your 30% to 25% in the U.S.
Okay, so what you do is you make a lot of Bill O'Reilly leprechaun statues, and you lose a lot of money. And then it reduces my tax burden here even more with the leprechaun statue business.
You know, they're gaming the U.S. taxes, if that's what you're trying to say, but they're doing it...
Are you an accountant? I'd like you to work for me, because I'd like to set up a Bill O'Reilly leprechaun business in Ireland.
I have, if you could hook me up to Donald Trump, I have a great tax plan that I ran through the lawyers in the IRS, and they agreed with me. It's a great plan on how to tax corporations, and it would bring jobs to the United States.
You're a former IRS employee?
Yes, I'm a former IRS agent. I was in the International Tax Division, too.
But today, are you an accountant today in the private sector?
Retired. I'm retired.
You sound like my friend Jack, who's a physicist. I'd like to have a cup of coffee with you. Because I am considering creating leprechaun statues in Ireland in order to reduce my U.S. tax rate. Maybe you could help me set up the Bill O'Reilly leprechaun statue business.
Michael, I want to have a cup of coffee with you. I could tell you stories down
there. I hope Bill doesn't get madder at me than he already is. I know his Irish ire must be up, and he's fuming there. Then he's calling up Ailes right now, I would imagine. Ailes is probably saying, we can't do anything. It's free speech. You're a public figure. Calm down, Bill. He's just kidding. He's not going to set up a leprechaun statue in Ireland. How about if I set up a limber leopard statue business in... What other country is a good tax haven?
We're sometimes a tax haven. You know that?
Wait. U.S. is a tax haven for whom?
U.S. can be a tax haven, too.
And I heard about that. There are Singaporeans who use the United States as a tax haven. What are they doing?
Well, the advantage of the high tax rate in the U.S. is that you would be paying a high tax rate in the U.S., and you're gaming two countries, getting a tax credit in two other countries for that same high rate of tax you pay in the U.S. Not bad.
Which country has the lowest corporate tax rate in the world that you know of off the top of your head?
Very low rate. Ireland, it depends on certain businesses, and, you play the game accordingly.
No, I love this. So let me, I read, about a year ago that there are two major nations that have no inheritance taxes. One is Russia and one is China. Is that correct?
I just deal with income taxes, but I think you're right about the inheritance tax.
So I want the listeners, before you go, Jeff, hold on. I want listeners to think about this. Here is Russia, a former Soviet socialist nation that could not even give out a salami to a person, that has one of the lowest tax rates in the world, no inheritance tax, And frankly, they encourage people to go into business and save and make money as a result of it. Here you have China, former communist dictatorship that's sort of a loosened communist capitalist nation, still a dictatorship of sorts, but nevertheless, no inheritance tax. So they encourage people to make a fortune. They don't steal it from them at the end of the line. How is it that we are so retrograde in this country that we tax people on money that's already been taxed? Jeff, that's what I want to know.
I'll tell you, the problem in the United States is that Congress just can't stop spending, and you got to get money somewhere. And where are you going to get it from? Taxing.
You're going to get it from the ordinary, hardworking, high-earning citizen who is a sitting duck in this nation. And the demagogues go after that segment of the population, making them the very enemy when they're the very producers. I read this as well, that 1%, the top 1% of earners. Let's take New Jersey. The tax rates are so high that billionaires are leaving. The top 1% of earners in New Jersey are providing 40% of all the state's personal income tax. Can you believe that?
That's right.
So if you attack the millionaires and billionaires, as the demagogues are now doing, what you're going to do is kill the goose that laid the golden egg. You'll drive them out of your state. Who's going to pay the money then?
You're right. Of course. The middle class is the answer. The tax.
Right. So even if they're rich, they're the middle class.
I tell you, Michael, I have a great plan. I'd love to pass it on.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Guy, let's keep Jeff on. I love this call. Sounds like a friend of mine. We're sending Jeff copy of, you want dog or you want government zero?
Government zero.
See, they all want the heavy duty. You're getting government zero. Then you're going to give your email address to the guys. I'll email you, and you'll send me the tax plan. I'll send it to the people at Trump. I swear to you, I will. Okay, stay on the line. That's a good deal. Now I'm going to get 50,000 guys calling. Mike, you know Donald Trump, can you get me a job? Mike, I manufacture bulletproof fingers. Can you get me into the Trump campaign? I got a special bulletproof finger for Lewandowski. Mike, do you know anyone at the Trump campaign? I want to get on his bandwagon. Mike, I got a special kind of shoe for a campaign. Mike, I got a special hair implant. You sew it in, it comes out at night, you wash it, it's just like new. Mike, I got a special tanning agent. Can you call Donald for me and get me in there? Mike, I saw a babe working from behind the scenes. You know, the one with the bikini who came out of the pool that was written about in the magazine. You see what you get when you start a thing like this. What you get is a quick break on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You ought to go to St. Patrick's Cathedral and pray to God that you make so much money without anything between your ears. What an idiot. Use comedy to fight ISIS. You hear this? Let's go to WABC in New York City. Evan, welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you have to say about Bono saying comedians should be sent to entertain ISIS and they'll be somehow soothed and they won't be killing anymore?
Dr. Savage.
Evan, you're on the air, Evan. Go ahead.
Here's another doc who made it good from the metropolis. I think of Bono. I hear Sunday, Bloody Sunday. We all supported our Irish friends in the Bronx and the IRA in the overthrow of the British oppression. I taught my four kids to support our parents, their grandparents, for overthrowing the Russians. Why wasn't Bono a proponent of Jerry Lewis and Don Rickles bringing comedy to Northern Ireland or to other?
What would have happened if they sent Don Rickles to the IRA in those days, to Northern Ireland, to Belfast?
At least everybody would have died with a smile. That was
God. Well, how do you think a guy like Bono says a thing like this and doesn't even hear himself saying that we should send comedians to defeat ISIS? What do you think? Does he really mean it, or is he just being a jokester?
Well, I don't think he's a jokester. He's a proponent of it, but he should be called on it. And why didn't he propose comedy to cure?
Yeah, no, you make a good point, Evan. You really do. So you're saying you're a doctor? What kind?
Anesthesiologist.
And you started poor? You worked your way through medical school?
Yeah, Manhattan College, chemical engineering, then went to medical school. Worked.
That's a hard road. You went the hard road. Today, they make anyone a doctor that gets off the boat.
Well, I'm still an engineer at heart. Systems engineer now for the body.
Interesting. Chemical engineering is a really hard road to go into medical school. Where'd you get your medical degree?
University of Buffalo.
You know, it's the first thing I ask doctors that I go to, where'd you get your medical school? If I hear New Delhi University, I'm out the door. I don't care if they're from New Delhi, India, but I don't want to hear they got their medical degree from Guadalajara or New Delhi. Am I biased in that regard?
You may be. You may be. The education in Europe is very, very good, no doubt.
Oh, good. So I'll look for someone now from New Delhi. I can't wait to see it. It's better than getting a deli man to come into the room. They're about on the same level as far as I'm concerned.
What? Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So here's Nancy Pelosi, well known to have suffered the mental effects of too many Botox injections. And she says something that makes so much sense that it had to come from her, because even a stop clock, as they say, is right twice a day. She's been right twice in her life. Once when she supported Taiwan against China, and I had her on my show, which was about 20 years ago. And now she says this: if Republicans reject the front runner, the party will implode and the Dems will sweep in November. This is coming from a fanatical Nancy Pelosi. She said, I do believe the person that wins in the public arena, she means who wins in the public arena, in the campaigns, will be the person who will be our nominee. Pelosi goes on to say, on the Republican side, where they really don't have so much as superdelegates, I don't think they have any. On the Republican side, she says, if they reject the public will, they will really hand us a bigger victory than I'm even anticipating now, because that will be an implosion of the Republican Party, she says. So someone writes, what's the difference between Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi? And the answer is 473 monthly Botox injections. God. I do like some of the bloggers. I got to tell you, this is funny. But then someone writes, Paul Ryan is different because he doesn't insist the Air Force fly him home every weekend. And then someone writes, both also want to stop Trump, as does Cruz. You get the picture. Someone says, I don't like Pelosi at all, but she's right on this one. If the Republican establishment screws Trump out of the nomination through caucus and convention delegate shenanigans, the party will implode. And you know who will win in November. So here we have Nancy Pelosi, who has more sense about what's going on in this country than the stooge Rince Prius. Okay, so now we should have a drum roll, but I don't have any drum roll sound. It's time for the companies that pay the most taxes, not the least, because if they just run those by the least, you say, well, now I'm like Bernie Sanders trying to make people anti-corporate. And I'm not. The corporations make America run. I just want them to pay their fair share. Well, here are the companies that pay the most taxes. Roll of the drums in your head. Number one, ExxonMobil. All of you who hate big oil. Big oil. Big oil. Big oil. ExxonMobil, income tax, $31 billion. On earnings before taxes of $78 billion. Well, the revenue was $428 billion, okay. But the earnings before taxes, for those of you who don't know what business is lower because you have to have expenses. So after deducting expenses, they have EBT of $78 billion, on which they pay $31 billion. That's very high. Chevron, big oil. Let's attack big oil. Big oil. Chevron pays $20 billion in income tax. Earnings of $46 billion on revenue of $222 billion. Apple, look at this one. Who would have thought? Who would have thought this? Income tax expense of Apple, $13 billion. Revenue, $170 billion. Earnings before taxes, $50 billion. And income tax of $13 billion. Very good. Very good. So now you could use your Apple phone and with pleasure. They're not one of the scam artists. Wells Fargo, high taxpayer, income tax expense of $9 billion on EBT of $28 billion. Walmart, oh, and the box stores, and the box stores. Let the little mom-and-pa stores thrive. All of the Bernies out there who never sold ice cream as a kid. Look, break up Walmart so the little business will thrive. All the Bernies who never sold a belt buckle at a flea market. Break up the box stores. Walmart, income tax expense, $8 billion on EBT of $25 billion on REVA $469 billion. ConocoPhillips, big oil, income tax, $7.9 billion they're paying of EBT of $15 billion. on rev of $60 billion. J.P. Morgan, roll of the drums, one of the winners, one of the good guys. Income tax expense, $7.6 billion on an EBT of $28 billion on revenue of $91 billion. Roll of the drums for number eight of the good guys, Berkshire Hathaway. Old Warren Buffet, income tax expense, $6.9 billion on EBT of $22 billion on revenue of $162 billion. Way to go, Warren. Here's another gold star winner, IBM. Income tax expense, they pay $5 billion on EBT of $21 billion on revenue of $104 billion. And finally, in this small list, Microsoft. I don't know how this is in conflict with the previous list. But I guess this is Microsoft domestic. Income tax of $5 billion on EBT of $27 billion on revenue of $77 billion. So there are winners here, meaning people who pay, companies that pay their fair share. It's that simple. Earlier we read the few examples of the many corporations that paid far less in federal income taxes than the average Americans in 2014 over the past 5 years, including were CBS 5%. GE minus 4%, JetBlue Airways 0.6%. Imagine if you could pay 0.6% in your federal taxes for your company. Owings Corning 5%, PG&E minus 7%, meaning you were paying them to run their business. Let's see, Priceline, yeah, okay. The swimming pool guy, 8.8%, minus 8.8. Prudential Financial minus 4.6, Qualcomm 8.7. I don't have to read any more of you. So these are profitable Fortune 500 companies that have been successful in manipulating the tax system to avoid paying even a dime in tax on billions of dollars in U.S. profits. And I read them. The list I read you know, just before this little list were those who did pay huge taxes, and we salute them. So you don't get the impression that every corporation is scamming the public. Just some are, and they're usually the friends of Obama or friends of both parties. Let's put it to you that way. They're the ones who have congressmen in their pockets, okay, or senators in their pockets. Like in The Godfather. Don't worry, my brother Frito runs this place. You got nothing to worry about, Senator. The girl will disappear, Senator, like the Supreme Court Justice did, Senator. No one will ask any questions, Senator. We'll cremate the remains before there's an autopsy. How can you get away with it, though? Won't the world ask a question? No, not with the dunces in the media. They'll ask nothing. They'll ask more questions about someone touching a girl reporter's arm. I guarantee in a few months, they'll ask about the mysterious death of a Supreme Court justice. Don't worry about it. My brother owns the newspapers. We can spin it any way we want. Anyway, here we are. Big topics. And I gave you the big meat of the show already, meaning the taxes. We did the work for you. And now we go to michaelsavage.com to see what's on the website. The little site that can. Top story on the right, the EU boss says the migrant crisis will be repeated. An alarming number of Syrians and Africans are about to enter Europe. I don't know why they don't stop them. Jihad Watch, what is happening in the Middle East will happen in Europe. They say Arabia is emerging in Europe, and there'll be explosions and war and mass murders because of the large numbers of Muslims that have been permitted to come into the country on the guise of asylum, Mr. Obama. Is this what you want, Mr. Obama? If it's not what you want, don't do it to us, Mr. Obama. But instead, here's Obama talking about not taking his shoes off on an airplane. Here is your president while the world is going up in smoke in clip number one. Play it now.
There are a lot of good things about being president. You know, I get a chance to travel all across the country and meet people, see all the amazing things that are being done, being commander-in-chief of the greatest military the world's ever known, and seeing the incredible service of our men and women in uniform. Air Force One. It's very cool. I don't have to take off my shoes before I get on an airplane.
How's that for a classy guy? That man brings such stature to the presidency. You know, he's on the level of, I don't know, Bono or who knows, Larry David even. You know, someone really high up, Woody Allen, if he was president, could make a joke like that, although he's humorless. Woody Allen looks humorless to me. Larry David looks like he cracks jokes, but Woody Allen looks like he actually doesn't joke. Looks like one of those serious guys that you hated in school. Nasty little kid. So my friends were worried about them setting off a dirty nuclear bomb in America. We're worried about Obama bringing in thousands or millions of them. God knows what he wants to do before he leaves Air Force One. And there's a gentleman who's an anti-terror expert named Sebastian Gorka, who went on Breitbart Radio's Steve Bannon show. And this guy says, my God, this is crazy. Listen to clip number 6 about Barack Obama on the Savage Nation.
He just is not interested. You look at exactly the body language, the verbiage he uses. It doesn't excite him. He wants to be a celebrity on the golf course or at the fundraisers for the DNC.
Go on to the... Then he talks about phrases that the CIA and Homeland Security and their friends in the media use, such as lone wolf, violent extremism. We know these are euphemisms to cover up the obvious, which is Islamo-fascist. Listen to clip 7.
They want to keep you stupid. It's like the phrase lone wolf. Lone wolf, violent extremism, that's designed to make the average voter stupid. So you don't understand the threat and so that you disconnect the dots. These are people who will not talk truth to this enemy because they don't believe in the existence of evil. If you don't believe in the existence of objective truth, you cannot believe in evil, and they will never call our enemies evil. We don't even use the word enemy today. Think about that. We don't use the word enemy as a government.
Oh, I think about it all the time. The only enemy to this government are the taxpayers who don't vote Democrat and the soldiers who actually kill the enemy instead of getting killed or maimed themselves, my friend. It's called Alice in Obamaland. You can write that one down and take it to the bank. It's Alice in Obamaland, the world that's upside down, and he gets away with it because of the stooges in the media. Here are stooges that went crazy this morning over a nun incident about a press secretary defending a candidate who got through a cordon around Donald Trump, grilling the prosecutor for dropping charges in a way they have never gotten agitated over ISIS, never gotten agitated over murders. Nothing moves them like this, to show you how low the reporter class has become. So what can I say about that that I've not already said? And unless we get a president who is willing to call the enemy what he is and is willing to connect the enemy to the religion of Islam, which they are connected to by their own definition, make it clear in your head that unless we are willing to connect the enemy to the holy book that incites them, especially the second half of their holy book, which every Muslim knows is true, because you could pick it up and read it. And there's many sutras about converting the infidel, killing the infidel. It's not about being at peace with the enemy. They see everyone as their enemy in the second half of their holy book. And this is very dangerous for those of us in the West who think that everyone is like us, that everyone is liberal and everyone's progressive and everyone's nice if you give them the chance, and that if you look down upon those who are different, and just because they're different, you're a racist. These are the naive fools. These are the useful idiots who are now the dangerous idiots of the world, and they're being used. Now, so we need someone in the CIA. We need someone especially in DHS. We need someone in those places. In the next election, God, we get a candidate who can do it. I know there's only two who can do it. That's Trump and Cruz. It's as simple as that. Only Trump or Cruz can save this nation from its obvious demise. There's no question in my mind. If we get the hag in a skirt, all she's going to do is use race to divide people. She's going to use taxation to suppress the middle class. She will do nothing to suppress the Islamo-fascist. In fact, she will suppress those who want to stop the Islamo-fascists right here in this country and abroad. And if you want to connect the dots, take a look at the number of active duty frontline soldiers who come back here and commit suicide, or have real PTSD. Think about the suicide rate about returning combat troops, and have you ask yourself why that's happening. Well, some of us have some idea why it's happening. In World War II, when a man went to war against the Nazis, he was told he was the good guy who he was, and he was told that the Germans were Nazis and fascists, and he was told to kill them, and he was told he was on the side of God. And he was told that if you believed in Jesus, to pray to him. And he was allowed to pray to him. He was allowed to pray before he went into combat in 20 degree below zero weather. And today we have a bunch of radical feminists who have deballed the military. But I'm just getting started on what I'd really like to say, but this is a national radio show, so I won't say any more. But you heard my rage. Take it and run with it. Obama has so poison-pilled the military that I don't know if we can ever rehire the men that have been drummed out or quit as a result of this devil
in Air Force One. And I'll pause at that step.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
We have so many great endorsements, so many great. You know, if you just look, I mean, Jeff Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions endorsed. So many. Michael Savage, you're right. Michael Savage endorsed.
Thanks, Donald. I appreciate the recognition for believing that you are the best candidate to defeat ISIS, straighten out the government, fire the bureaucrats who are corrupt, and put in jail all the Democrats who have raped the Treasury. Other than that, I have a very long list, but that's the short list. One, national security. Two, replace the entire leadership of DHS, the entire leadership of the so-called intelligence agencies, with combat veterans who have faced the enemy, not a bunch of girls who went to Yale. And then, of course, we've got to get the scam artists and the Democrat and Republican parties who have enriched themselves at the expense of the average taxpayer. They need to be hunted down. They need to be given a fair trial, and then the assets need to be seized, and the money that they stole sent back to those they stole it from, meaning the taxpayer. That would be like find all the Bernie Madoffs in both parties, arrest them, give them a grand jury trial, arrest them, try them, and then fry them. There are probably thousands of Bernie Madoffs in this government on both sides of the aisle, thousands of them. Thousands of them are working with congressmen and senators, illegally enriching themselves in ways you could never imagine. This is why Donald Trump is being stopped at every turn, because they know that although he's a rich man, he just might do something to upset the apple cart and uncover the worms who are eating away at the national Big Apple. On that note, I'm going to stop right here because we've got to move along into the next hour. For those of you who will be here, for those of you holding on the line, for those of you who are calling 855-407-2822, for those of you who have gone to michaelsavage.com, for those of you who have ordered Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, for those of you who want to know about olive oil, where the best food is, don't call me, I'm not interested yet. I don't know, a lot of things are going to talk about the next hour. It's not fixed yet. Hour three is a different kind of tempo for me. A different tempo if you're in the music business. I don't know what it's called, but it's not called contratempo. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Such a thing about John Travolta. I feel bad for him. You know, he has issues in his life that would have crushed another man, and he's overridden them. Leave the guy alone, for God's sakes. What's wrong with you people in the media? Why are you such jackals and so stupid? I say to myself every day. Here in California, for example, we had a drought. And, of course, during the drought, I said, excuse me, it's the summertime. It's the end of a long cycle. It's called the Mediterranean climate, morons. I know many of you moved here from Cleveland, and you don't know what a Mediterranean climate is. But that means it gets dry, and then it gets wet for a number of years. It's called a Mediterranean climate, morons. So every day, the sky is falling, climate change, global warming, we're all going to die. I said, it's going to have a wet winter. Now, so the lakes are at 108% of their historic average, and they're saying it's still not over. The drought's still not over. Sierra snowpack shows El Nino not as beastly as billed. They're still trying to show that they were smart, the morons. These are the people who you believe in for news. And then on the other side, you got Fox News. I don't know about you, but whenever I turn a screen on and I see a woman with a shoe and a naked leg up and down while they're discussing world affairs, I turn it off. If I see a side shot of a foot with a short skirt and the shoe is going up and down like some mad, angry girl, I turn it right off. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm not interested. I don't take them seriously. It's that simple. Now, if O'Reilly would come out and do a side shot like that, I'd say, oh, even if it's a loafer, I would say, okay, it's different. But the fact of the matter is, I, you know what I watch for news now? I tell you the truth, I'm going to NHK, which is Japanese television. I love it. I've always liked the Japanese society and Japanese people. They look so smart. They almost look like from another world. Like, I watched the science show the other day from NHK television, and it was about the natural ways of controlling insects, you know, on plants, insecticides, without using toxic organophosphorus or other chemicals, because we all know that these are dangerous. And, of course, I've known about biomethods of using other insects to control insects. So they showed, this guy was like from Mars, this Japanese scientist in translation, and they were releasing a certain type of wasp, a mini wasp, into a, like a thing that they created for an experiment, into a, two plants. One that had holes in it that were eaten by a caterpillar. The other one had no holes in it, wasn't eaten by a caterpillar. And watch what happens when we release the wasps inside, you know, and then and they go right to the plant that was eaten because there's a certain scent left behind. So then they release an insect that kills the caterpillar, which is the wasp, is what I'm saying to you. Now, I knew a man who was in this field in the 1968, 69, 70. I love this guy. He's long dead. He was 350 pounds. Crazy as this guy was as nutty as anyone I've ever met, but I knew he was a genius. I have always gravitated to odd people, because amongst the very odd people, there are often great geniuses. He was a complete nutcase in almost every other way. He talked to himself. He'd mumble about his ex-wife in New York, how she ripped him off. He lived alone in a little apartment in Honolulu. I loved Irving. And I became his friend, a really great friend. I've always gravitated to very, very odd, very intelligent people. Just being odd isn't enough. Although sometimes it is enough, at least for a short period of time. But for any long period of time, they have to be odd and brilliant. So this guy was working in the late 60s and 70s, as I said, on insects to kill insects as natural insecticides. And he would say to me, he'd start talking to me about bugs, he would say, he would actually become almost like an insect as he taught me how these insects thought and how they acted. Because he got so into their, I shouldn't say thought process, but there must be some rudimentary process that insects use that you might say resembles thought, some algorithm in their brain. You could say it's pure instinct. But the fact of the matter is he got into them so deeply that he knew how they operated in order to destroy them. So this guy was brilliant. And I trusted him because he knew what he was doing. So the other day I'm watching Japanese news and they're doing the very thing that old Irving did. I said, gee, I forgot about this. So I had nothing to do at midnight. I went on the internet. I looked up his inventions. The guy left behind many patents of such natural methods of of killing insects. I mean, just a side note. That's all. Nothing important. Then if I really want to watch news, sometimes RT is good. The Russian television is excellent on the thing. I can't tell you. I don't like any of the cable channels anymore. Once in a while, one of them will do something of value. I don't know where to turn for news. I have to go overseas to get it. Many of you go to the BBC, totally left-wing, stupid, but they have high accents and they're usually very good-looking, so you think they're smart. This is the problem with people. If someone's good-looking, you think they're intelligent, but just look at Fox News, and that tends to tell you that's not always true. Look at that one with the mustache there. Even though he's off radio, he's still on television. Years later, bamboozling the public. So as I said in the beginning of the show, I open the show with a statement that's not particularly clever, but it's somewhat truthful when I said that there's a little bit of Bernie Madoff in all of us. And this, you know it's true. Yeah, when I was a kid, someone I knew said there's larceny in your heart. I said, I didn't even know what larceny meant. It came from a movie. But it turns out that actually he was a very wealthy kid from Great Neck. His father was a very wealthy, I guess, businessman. I don't know what he did for a living. I don't think his name was Madoff, and nor do I think he was in that business. He was a real estate developer of some kind. But this kid, even though I was poor, somehow I got pulled into that circle with a friend who knew him. I was like the outlier, poor kid who was allowed to hang out with them. He would say to us things like, there's larceny in your heart and you know it. And I didn't know what he was talking about. What he's trying to say is that if you had the opportunity to rob, you would. And you look around society today, you take a look at Congress, you take a look at the president, you're telling me that they're not larcenous in their behavior? You're telling me Obama's not abusing the public by riding around in that Air Force One, on vacations, Air Force One, on doing the things he does? You tell me this is not larceny of some kind, to rip the taxpayer off like that? So you go all the way down the line, and you see why the people are at the point of revolution in this country. And that explains why an ordinary he's not that interesting, Bernie Sanders. He's a typical New York communist slash socialist of the old type. New York knows the type. But the youngsters in America don't know anything about the history of Stalinism. They don't know anything about the history of where this kind of loose rhetoric leads. They don't know anything about where class warfare leads. They're stupid, in other words. They're uneducated adults. So a guy says, yeah, free tuition. Yeah, I want free tuition. Then a guy says, income inequality. Well, what does that mean, Bernie? It means some people are smarter than others? Or they're able to scam the system. So, yeah, you want to rein in those who are scamming the system, as I talked in the last hour about companies that don't pay their fair share of taxes. But then I showed you on the other side of the ledger companies that do pay their fair share of taxes, so you don't fall into the notion that all companies are robbing the Treasury, because they're not. Just some of them are. You get it? Well, that's the opening to the show. Then we talked about the idiot musician Bonehead, saying that the way to defeat ISIS is send in the comedians. Very clever, really smart. That's just what we got to have now in this world, is people like that going to Congress giving their opinion. So that's the situation we're in. That's all. If you get a comment, the phone number is 855-400-7282. What's in the news? Let's go to the Drudge Report, read a headline or two. Debate prep. CNN questions Sanders' religion. Oh, come on. What's he saying now? I'm not a practicing Jew again. Is that a standard? Or became Jewish over the... What is Sanders' religion? It's communism. What's his religion? His religion is Marxism. What is his religion? You have to be a genius to figure that out. Let me read this. Nobody would mistake Bernie Sanders' stump speech for Simon when making moral argument. Though raised Jewish, Sanders says that he is not particularly religious, nor is he a member of any congregation. I am not actively involved in organized religion. But at a CNN town hall in New Hampshire in February, Sanders seemed to contradict himself. It's a guiding principle in my life, absolutely. See what I mean by Bernie Madoff? Then he says, you know, everyone practices religion in a different way. To me, I would not be here tonight. I would not be running for president of the United States if I did not have very strong religious and spiritual feelings. Yeah, he worships the God of Karl Marx. So they say, wait a minute, is Bernie Sanders religious or not? Well, we know he's not religious. He's a diehard socialist slash communist. That we know. So then they ask, is he religious or not religious? And then they say if he wants to win, he has to expand his base, which means luring church-going Christians away from Hillary Clinton. And according to exit polls, Hillary has dominated Sanders among Americans who attend worship services weekly, leading to a God gap among the Democratic candidates. So Sanders knows this. So then he goes to black churches, and then he goes to evangelicals at Liberty University in Virginia. And this Friday, just days before the New York primary, he's going to deliver a speech on building a moral economy. I think Joseph Stalin talked about that. At the Vatican, no less, where he hopes to meet the scam artist in chief, a personal hero, Pope Francis, because they don't agree on religion, but they certainly agree on Karl Marx. So the question is, what do the words really mean? I'll let you decide what they mean. The fact is, he talks out of both sides of his mouth. And the fact is that unless you are religious, you're not religious. And you can't say to yourself, you're this and you're that every other day. So now he's bringing up Hitler again and the Holocaust. That's not religion. It's not enough to talk about Hitler and the Holocaust and say that that makes you religious. That doesn't mean anything. You're talking about an atrocity. You're talking about genocide, but you're not talking about your religion. So in other words, he's again trying to couch his religion in the Holocaust, which is something that I find reprehensible. I don't like people who use the Holocaust as a weapon. I never have. And I usually run out of any place where people start talking about the Holocaust for personal gain. Because I can guarantee you that Bernie Madoff did it plenty of times on his way to the billions. At the University of Chicago, where Bernie Sanders went to college, he spent hours imbibing socialism's sacred canon, the writings of Karl Marx, Leon Trotsky, and Eugene V. Debs, a socialist who ran for president 5 times. And he leaves it out of his autobiography. There is no mention in his autobiography of the months that Sanders spent on a kibbutz in northern Israel. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, Israel is not mentioned at all in this Jewish American politician's autobiography. My Jewish friends, be very, very careful with this man, because this man has faith only in one thing, and that's in personal advancement. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I am very proud to be Jewish, and being Jewish is so much of what I am. Look, my father's family.
Okay, okay. I'm very here, very now in front of the crowd in New York. I'm looking out. I see a lot of inequality. I see tall people and short people. That's very unequal. I see people who are bald and people with hair. That's unequal. I see men. I see women. That's not equal. I see black people, white people, brown people, and Asian people. I don't like it. It's unequal. I see a future in America when everyone is the same size. Everyone will have the same blue uniform with a red star, and we will have equality. I am Bernie Sanders, and I believe in Karl Marx. Now, this is so sickening. Less than 1 in 5 American Jews say observing religious law is essential to being Jewish. And an even smaller percentage say Judaism is mainly a religious matter. According to this article, the vast majority of atheists or secular Jews, like Sanders, say that, listen to this, remembering the Holocaust, leading an ethical life, and working for justice are the touchstones of modern Judaism. That is such a crock of locks. How in the world can you compare a great religion with communism and victimhood? That's all this is. Remembering the Holocaust is basically wrapping yourself in being a victim. I'm not telling you to forget the Holocaust, but you don't make that the whole be-all and end-all of your religion. That's absurd. And I have seen scholars write on this. This is something that really agitates me, is that, oh, the Holocaust doesn't make you Jewish. What you're doing is falling into a trap of wearing a chip on your shoulder and confusing that with being religious. There's nothing to do with being religious. Leading an ethical life. Now, what does that mean? I'm sure Bernie Madoff was given awards by the American Jewish Congress. In fact, I know he was, because he gave them tens of millions of dollars. You want to get an award in this country? Give someone money. You want to have a dinner in your name? Give somebody money. What do you mean leading an ethical life? What does it actually mean? People I know who give money generally don't even know who they are. There are people I know who give a lot of money to elephant funds who no one even knows who they are, and no one gives them a dinner, because it's about the elephants, not about being, you know, rewarded for it with it, being told you're an ethical person. And then you say, oh, well, I'm working for justice. What does that mean? It means you're pushing some left-wing fanatical idea. And that makes you somehow religious? This was tried before, my friends, and it's a disaster to see this phony doing it again. The only good news, excuse me, is he doesn't have a chance to win for a number of reasons. No matter what he's doing against Hillary, not only is the system stacked against him, but the fact of the matter is he is an atheist, and we know that. And that's okay if you're an atheist. We know there's many atheists. But it's a political liability. Most Americans say they would be less likely to vote for a candidate who does not believe in God. That's after we've had this godless president, godless in Washington now for the last 8 years. And by the way, even Gallup polls suggest Americans are even less likely to vote for a socialist candidate, and Sanders has already crossed that bridge. So he's an atheist and a socialist, and people don't like him. The only people who like him are the young who are foolish, who don't know history and don't even know where the rhetoric comes from. The rhetoric comes directly from Karl Marx, which is what he steeped himself in since childhood. And the fact of the matter is, he's not going to get anywhere. He's not a prophet. He's a con man. He's not a pundit. He's not a weatherman. He's not a fortune teller. He's a con man. So, my friends, that's all I want to say about that subject. Let's go to... I don't have time for a call now. But I'll give you the phone number if you want to comment on anything that I've talked about. 855-400-7282. By the way, the next time you are at a Trump rally anywhere in America, anywhere, when the moment is right, and Donald Trump says, I've been endorsed by many people, scream out Michael Savage. Because I have done a lot, because I believe in this man, and I truly believe to this day, he must become the next president of the United States. He will restore our standing in the world. He will restore the officers to the military who belong there. He, of all men, will crush ISIS. He will root out the gangsters in government who have enriched themselves over these last many years on both sides of the aisle. He will put them in jail. Yes, I guarantee it. I'll be back.
Supposed to let in as many immigrants as want to come here, and that we're mean and hateful if we don't want that, that he wants open borders, he wants more free trade. And he does it in such a whiny, you know, preachy way that you can listen to, you know, he's lecturing his own workers, and of course they're going to applaud. And then Trump campaign labels Zuckerberg a hypocrite after the border wall critiques. I want to start with clips 12 and 13 of Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and see what you think of this.
As I look around and as I travel around the world, I'm starting to see people and nations turning inward against this idea of a connected world and a global community. I hear fearful voices calling for building walls and distancing people they label as others, for blocking free expression, for slowing immigration, reducing trade, and in some cases around the world, even cutting access to the internet. It takes courage to choose hope over fear. You have to be optimistic to think that you can change the world. And people will always call you naive, but it's this hope and this optimism that is behind every important step forward.
Oh, wonderful, Mark. I'm sure Harvard approved of that speech 100%. That's something you'd give at a faculty conference, and everybody would applaud you. All the guys on tenure who don't live in the real world would think that you're just a brilliant man. But the fact is that we don't live in the world of the 1950s where this kind of unbridled immigration made sense, nor did we ever allow illegal immigrants to break through America, break into America. But more importantly, Mark, you're a pure hypocrite in the opinion of many, because we all know you just want to pay your IT workers as little as you can in plain English. That's all it comes down to. That we all know. And so Katrina Pearson of the Trump campaign labeled Zuckerberg a hypocrite for this speech in clip number 11. Let's hear her.
I think I'll take Mark Zuckerberg seriously when he gives up all of his private security, move out of his posh neighborhood, and come live in a modest neighborhood near a border town, and then I'm sure his attitude would change.
Very well done, young lady. Right. He has big walls around his house. He has bodyguards who are real problems for his neighbors. Do I have to go into any more details? All of these open borders people, right? And it goes back to the whole issue of national security, where this national security expert, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, was ridiculing Bono, who says he doesn't know what he's talking about. And then he talks about the fools in the government, where it's no longer a laughing matter. He lectures police forces on the dangers of radical Islamists. And listen to what he experiences. Jim, play clip number 8, 08 in the Savage Nation.
I get given by the local PD 8 hours to explain the mind of jihadis to state and local law enforcement. And I do the data dump, the stuff I do at Bragg, the stuff I do for the Marines, 8 hours of what does the enemy believe and what's it going to take to defeat him. After 8 hours of delivering it, a young, pretty girl comes up to me. She's clearly not a Leo. She's not a law enforcement officer. And she says, Dr. Gorka, you're clearly very clever, but I really disagree with most of your analysis because I'm from the Department of Homeland Security. She gives me her card and she says, you do know that the primary threat to these officers into America is from right-wing extremists and militias.
It says everything I have warned you on this show about Jay Johnson of DHS, who is perhaps the most dangerous and the most incompetent man in the history of American security services. He was put there specifically by the commander-in-chief who has poison-pilled every intelligence agency, poison-pilled the military, poison-pilled the police by demonizing them and making them open targets for various and sundry hateful groups in America. But most importantly, he has destroyed the Department of Homeland Security by putting in these know-nothing girls and boys who still actually believe that it's Americans themselves who are the most dangerous element in society. This is after the last terrorist incident. This is after Boston. This is after the incident in Southern California, as I say. They still won't identify the enemy as he really is, radical Islam, or shall I say, as she is, since it was also a woman in a burqa who executed her husband's co-workers in that office. And so our real threat here is from within. And the threat is not from within people in this country like those she mentions, meaning militia, members of militia.
nor right-wing extremists, because she can label anyone a right-wing extremist that she wishes. This is how demagogues do it. The real danger is from left-wing fanatics like those who run DHS, in the opinion of most of us, which is why they're running scared against Donald Trump, which is why they all want Donald Trump and, for that matter, Ted Cruz to be destroyed. But at this time, they're using Ted Cruz to try to weaken Donald Trump. Make no mistake about it. The sudden friends of Ted Cruz, in the television media in particular, are not a friend of Ted Cruz. They don't want him to win. They want him to weaken Trump because they don't want Trump to win. And so that's what they're doing. It's adding, they're not a fan all of a sudden of Ted Cruz's excellent policies, and he has great policies. Make no mistake about it. You've got to be a fool not to understand that. But they don't want him to win. But the reason that they're elevating Ted Cruz is to de-elevate Donald Trump and to destroy any desire to straighten this country out before it's too late. It's as simple as that. So, my friends, that's what I see. I don't understand if you see it the way I do, but I've tried my best to have you see it the way I do, and I'd like to go on with some calls at 855-400-7282. Let us look again. I think we have to listen to Mr. Gorka again. He was on Breitbart Radio with Steve Bannon in clip 5. Listen to this now.
I'm often asked to grade America's post-9/11 performance. I can't even give us an F grade. We get an incomplete. We are not even on the battlefield. When you look at the ideology, you look at how they're recruiting. Do you know, people have to understand, last year, 2015, saw the highest incidence of jihadi plots on U.S. soil since September the 11th. The day before San Bernardino, both the commander-in-chief and Secretary Kerry said, we are winning, ISIS is contained. Well, you know what? I guess the jihadis didn't get the memo, because they are winning. They're taking territory. They're recruiting upwards of 80,000 jihadis. And look at Brussels. Look at Paris.
Well, now let's listen to what the commander-in-chief, who boasted about how much he loves the job because he doesn't have to take his shoes off to get on Air Force One, goofball-in-chief in clip 14 on the Savage Nation Now.
This remains a difficult fight and a complex one involving many countries, different communities in Syria, and in Iraq. It is a military campaign and a counterterrorism effort, but it also depends on a whole range of political issues that face these two countries. As we've seen so tragically, from Brussels to Istanbul to Iraq, where ISIL slaughtered children watching soccer, these depraved terrorists still have the ability to inflict horrific violence on the innocent, to the revulsion
and
of the entire world.
What are you going to do about it?
With attacks like these, ISIL hopes to weaken our collective resolve.
Once again,
they have failed. Their barbarism only stiffens our unity determination to wipe this vile terrorist organization off the face of the earth.
Do you actually believe he means a word of what he just said? I want you to counterpoint what he just said, the goofball commander-in-chief, with clip number one. I want you to now counterpose what the goofball just said with clip one. Play a one.
There are a lot of good things about being president. You know, I get a chance to travel all across the country and meet people, see all the amazing things that are being done. Being commander-in-chief of the greatest military the world's ever known, and seeing the incredible service of our men and women in uniform, Air Force One. It's very cool. I don't have to take off my shoes before I get on an airplane.
It leaves you speechless to believe that a man as incompetent and disconnected and frankly embarrassing as this is still sitting in the White House. But okay, you can thank the media for this. Because if I saw 1/100th of the emotions that I saw today in the press conference this morning about the incident of Donald Trump's press candidate, Secretary Lewandowski, when I saw them suddenly acting like they were tough reporters, the prosecutor dropped all charges because there were not enough charges to stick. They were nonsense. He touched some girl who approached Trump with a pen, and he did the right thing. In fact, he should count us, but that's a separate story. Well, you should have heard the reporters jumping on the prosecutor, even though he was a Democrat, for dropping the charges. Can you imagine if these cowards in the media had devoted as much attention, or 1/100th of the attention, that they devoted this morning to this nun incident, to the real incidents that are facing this country. Can you just imagine this? Jim, do we have any of that sound of that press conference? Could you play any of it for those who didn't have the time this morning? After all, I'm paid to listen to these things and be outraged. I'm paid to take it. I'm paid to hurt from it. I'm paid to break things. I'm paid to almost blow a fuse. I'm paid to almost get a stroke as I listen. So let's all listen to it now on the Savage Nation.
Can you, as a longtime person in politics here locally, can you describe your relationship with Mr. Trump, how well you know him, and what type of events are...
Yeah, I got a kick out of the whole political angle because at first they were saying that somehow I was doing this on behalf of Hillary Clinton, and then they found out I was law school housemates, dorm mates with Ted Cruz. He and I actually shared a bathroom first year of law school. I assure you had no impact upon our decision. I knew Marco Rubio in the Florida legislature. And I have met Mr. Trump on a few occasions. I've been to Mar-a-Lago. Last time I was there, there were 800 others there, so it's not quite a private setting. The fact that I have a relationship with several of the people who are running for president has no bearing upon our decision in this case. Our decision was made solely on the facts, solely on the evidence, and solely on the law.
What law school was that? Were you shared a room or bathroom, I guess?
It was a Harvard Law School, and it was Hastings Hall.
I'm giving a sampling of the people without brains. Turn it off. The reporters, all of a sudden, they found their guts. Now they found their macho. Their manhood suddenly emerged on this case. It's like a rapist who got away with raping that poor reporter in front of everybody. Well, there was nothing. Nothing happened. In fact, if they devoted 1/100th of their criticisms of this decision to what the goofball in the White House is doing, or to what Pelosi is doing, or what Feinstein is doing, or what any of those Democrat socialist criminals are doing, we might have a chance at saving America before it's too late. But no, look what they focus on. A prosecutor says there's no case here, go away, and they go crazy. This went on for an hour. All of a sudden, every one of them was Edward R. Murrow with a microphone. I personally believe that Trump's guy, Lewandowski, should bring charges against the girl, reporter, for false accusations, for battery on a presidential candidate because she touched him against all of the law against touching a candidate, and her refusal to accede to Secret Service directives. I believe she should be immediately charged. I believe he should bring a lawsuit against her for defamation for what she did to his name, Lewandowski. Lewandowski was defending his candidate from a reporter with an unknown object in her hand whose motives were unclear at the time. And as I said last week or when this occurred a month ago, Michelle Fields was lucky that Lewandowski stepped in and just brushed her aside and it was not the Secret Service because she might have had a broken face or a broken arm for what she did. And I want to appeal now to the Democrats who are listening to the show. Do you want someone being able to approach Hillary Clinton with a pen in their hand and touching her on the arm, getting around Secret Service? If you watch the tape, and maybe you'll watch it tonight, she was in the area that reporters were supposed to be in, all the media. And then as Donald Trump starts to walk out of the protected area, the girl reporter, she goes around the entire barrier, and she goes right up to Trump, coming at him from behind. The Secret Service agent, by the way, should be dismissed from Donald Trump's protective detail because he didn't do his job. And because he didn't do his job, Lewandowski, a former state trooper in New Hampshire, had to leap across that open space and brush this girl aside. And they turned this into assault. Can you believe this world we're living in? Okay, so the case gets thrown out. The Democrat prosecutor says, no, there's no case. The reporters are pressing. But I want to ask you, do you want anyone to be able to go up to Hillary Clinton, unknown person, who's she protected by Secret Service? Do you want her to have anyone be able to go up to her, touch her arm? No, I don't think you do. I don't either. You want anyone to go up to Sacred Bernie and touch the seltzer arm, the all 11 inches of his bicep? Do you want them to be able to touch that flabby bicep? No, I don't want that. So the fact is that it's what's happening here is very important for all of us. This is the Savage Nation. There's a phone number, 855-407-2822. There are two open lines. If you want to grab the last minutes of the show, go ahead.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Listen, I was wondering, I told you I love to watch NHK television, Japanese television for news and specials and shows and this and that and science. They've always been a culture, a civilization that's appealed to me from many levels. And I asked myself, how come there have been no acts of Muslim terrorism against Japan? So I did some research. Take a guess how many mosques there are in Japan. Seven. The last we checked, there were seven mosques permitted in all of Japan. Take a guess how many Muslim immigrants Japan is taking in from Syria. Answer, zero. So now, you see, there is a relationship between the number of mosques and the number of immigrants and terrorism in a nation. Just ask yourself about France. How many mosques? How many Muslims? Quite a few. High percentage. What about Belgium? How many mosques? How many Muslims? Quite a few. Many mosques. A lot of terrorism. How about London? Many mosques. Many Muslims. A lot of terrorism. So you see, there is a sort of quotient that relates here. And so when Donald Trump said, he hasn't repeated it in a while, he'll be on the show Monday, I'll ask him again, because I'm not one to mince words. I'll say, Donald, do you still stand by your words that you want to ban Muslim immigration until we can, quote, figure this thing out? And while you're thinking about that, all you good liberals, here's a little story for you from the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft. A Mexican government official in the military has said definitively that ISIS has a training camp 8 miles from the U.S. border. Did you hear about that from DHS? Or they're interested in seeing if you're a member of a militia? I'm sorry, excuse me. Judicial Watch has reported that ISIS is operating an ISIS camp just a few miles from El Paso, Texas, which include a Mexican Army field grade officer and a Mexican federal police inspector. Put that into your hash pipe and smoke it. And keep on watching Bill Maher and listening to the goofball in chief. And ask yourself when a bomb goes off why you weren't warned. This is Michael Savage. Thanks for listening.